first speaker today, just kind of going through the list.
So our first speaker today, we've got Miss Imani Holmes today, and she'll be leading us all. And we've known Imani for, how many years now?
It's going to be 13.
Lord,
coming up in
May. It didn't feel like that long. We were her youth pastors back in the day.
We were only 15 when we started.
We were so young ourselves and just happy and serving the Lord. But she was under us, and we've seen her grow into just a beautiful woman with just an anointing on her life, a grace. Now she's leading young people of her own, and it's just been a beautiful thing to see and watch. So I'm excited to hear what the Lord's going to speak to her today for us. And then we've got
Larry Wyatt.
Larry Wyatt.
King Larry. We got Larry Wyatt, who I will say for me personally, the role in the church, Larry is officially head over our deacon ministry that we're going to be commissioning on the later part of this year. And so really the Lord just placed in our heart to have Larry continue to lead the deacons, which are over the care and helping to serve the people of God. But Larry also serves as president of Briarcliff's partnership committee. And Larry also, for me personally, is just a sounding voice of wisdom. He helps me see things from a different perspective, helps me to view things, and always make sure that I know what I need to know at the right time, and has been just a trusted ear and a great support. And just, I'll let Larry tell more about his story, but I draw a lot of my strength and resilience watching Larry show up week in and week out.
Yes,
so
yes.
I'm looking forward to hear from Larry. After Larry, you all will hear from the lone cowboy fan in our church. No, Jay Hurt, who is over and the director of our assimilation, which is near and dear to our heart, to take people from the outside of the ministry or the community part of the ministry and bring them and walk alongside them in their journey to being plugged into the ministry and the core and the heart. And so I could say a lot about Jay, but just appreciate his forward thinking and solution oriented mindset and just the progress that he's made in just the 3 full months that he has been on board with us, and I look forward to hearing the word of God that comes from him. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, I consider them just, I believe with all my heart that we have two of the best youth pastors in the world in Justin and Aisha Pennerman. Amen. Amen. If you have young people,
teenagers,
who are 12 to 18, and they need to plug in to the ministry, they need someone to be with them, to keep it 100, to keep it real, but genuinely have a passion, have a heart at the top of this year, they laid out their entire calendar and said, this is what we're doing. I said, all right.
It was amazing.
Okay. And, they'll send me a text saying, well, the teen said that they wanted to. And I'm like, yes, sir, boss. I'll do whatever the teens say.
Whatever they want. It's great.
But Justin and Aisha, they have such a gift. And what blesses us the most is at the end of service, when we hear from parents how much they're blessed as a result of being with you all in the teen ministry. Also, when you all tell us how blessed you are from what they're doing in the emerging gen with the preschool nursery. The first thing I do around here is going to be dedicated to our children and teens.
Amen. Amen.
So I thank God for the two of you that God has sent before we get everything going and turned over and all that fun stuff. So
it's going to be good.
I'm enjoying it. So Brave started 1:30. So Imani, no pressure. Let's welcome Imani as she comes to the stage.
I'm on borrowed time, apparently. They had a walk-off yesterday, didn't they? as Vincent and Ashley mentioned, my name is Imani Holmes, and it's a pleasure to be before you all this morning. I want to talk about today something that happens after the big moments happen, or even before the smaller moments happen. In the meantime, is a period of time that happens sort of in those big stretches of moments. It's an idiom or a phrase that is defined as the time before something happens or before a specified period ends. It's an action that occurs while something else is transpiring. And it's these intervals between these actions that really inspire us in key moments. And for some people, they consider those down times or in the mean times to be those lull moments, those down periods where you may decelerate, right? Take your foot off the gas. But in fact, God is calling us to take a more leading role in our relationship with God so that we can step up and really maximize our spiritual tools for when we get to those bigger tests and those bigger moments. So he wants us to be prepared and not be caught flat-footed in those moments. So in the meantime, or in this interim period, God is aligning us to our purpose. He is reminding us of the importance of patience. And he's affirming us in his protection over us. So let's start with purpose. God is aligning us to our purpose. Sometimes we think about purpose in the sense of a goal or a metric, a mission or a reason. And that definition can sometimes be really self-centered because it takes the onus of away from God. It puts it all on us to be like, what can I get from God, right? What do I need from God in this moment? But I want to shift that definition of purpose. I want to define purpose today more of as an obligation, as a commandment, as a responsibility. So it shifts the dynamic of our relationship with God to now be one of an opportunity to see, to hear, to understand, and then to act on what it is that he wants from us. So how does God align us to our purpose? First, he communicates his will to us. Secondly, he enables us to live a holy life. So how do we know what God's will for our life is? I'm so glad you asked. So we know God's will for us because it's outlined in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. I'm going to read from the Amplified Translation. So he says, "Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way." So we know God's will for our life is to fully commit to him. That's what that's saying in Proverbs 3. So we have to embrace the full commitment of the Lord, not only in our salvation of our souls, but in the direction of our lives. It's really an unyielding, unwavering commitment to him. As the song goes, ain't no half-stepping, right? You can't sometimes be in it, sometimes be out of it, right? But the fullness of the commitment is really seen. And so even in Ecclesiastes 5, he tells us to fulfill our vows, right? So we have to take that yielding posture to be able to really fully commit to him. So the second way that we can understand our full purpose in God's life is to be enabled to live a holy life. We have to walk in the Spirit. So let's go to Romans 8, and I'm going to read starting in verse 5. "Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires." I'm going to jump down to verse 9. "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life." So in the previous chapter in Romans, in chapter 7, the righteous law is first introduced. But in chapter 8, we get to see how we can fulfill the requirement of the righteous law. And that righteous law is fulfilled in us who walk according to the Spirit, or Spirit-controlled life. So even though we inherit condemnation or sin or transgressions, by simply identifying with Christ, we remove all of the sin that comes into our lives. We draw closer to him, we rely on him, and therefore we receive Jesus as when we are, accept him as we're when he's born again. So jumping down to 1 Peter, right, we talk about the privileges and duties that are assigned to us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 does a really good job of ironing this out. I'm going to start with verse 3. "Praise be to God the Father for our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And so here we see that the promises of salvation stand the test of time. I'm a big sports fan, so you think about in basketball or even in football, right, where there's a play that comes into question. So the refs go over to the booth, they're calling New York, looking at all the angles of the game, trying to see who touched the ball last, is that a real foul, it's 2 minutes left, right? You're like, ooh. And there's a technicality, right? There's a technicality of refereeing a game that may overturn something that you thought was going to happen. The call on the field was roughing the passer. They love RTP, I hate it. But they love roughing the passer in the NFL, right? Or if the ball is tipped out of bounds, who touched the ball last? The technicality of reviewing a play can overturn something that happened during the game, right? But what Peter is saying here is that the promise of salvation stands the test of time. There's nothing that can be overturned. There's nothing that can be overruled. There's nothing that can be misconstrued in our walk with God, right? And so as we're continuing to think about purpose, right? Again, it's not just what can I get from God? But purpose here means what is God commanding me to do? He's commanding me to be in right standing with him. He's commanding me to have an open heart. He's commanding me to be patient. He's commanding me to be protected. And I think as we continue to walk through our lives with Christ, keep those things in mind, right? God is calling us to remember our purpose and not in a self-centered way. It's a way to edify and to glorify him. So thank you all for your time.
Hello.
Ah, there I am. All right. Okay. Oh, well, thank you, Mike. That was wonderful. That's going to be a hard one to follow. Okay. But, you know, it's like I was reading Romans chapter 8, and, you know, and I thought, I don't know what to say, you know, so I'm going to wing it.
Is that the look of fear on your face, Pastor Vince? You trust me to wing it, don't you, Pastor Ashley? Okay. All right.
Yeah, it was, there's so much information in Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to start with John 3:16. Got it up on screen. All right. Now, see, this verse we all learned as children. It's like the first verse I memorized in Sunday school and vacation Bible school. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now, Romans chapter 8 to me expands deeply on that verse. And it's appropriate we're doing this the week after Easter because it's just, Romans chapter 8 is just a continuation of that. But for me, you know, I was reading Romans chapter 8 and I wanted to get all holy and profound, you know, just come up with something really big. But it kept jerking me back to the first verse of Romans chapter 8. And there we go. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? All right. Because I have lived with condemnation. I have been my own worst enemy. I have beat myself up. I have said things to myself that no one else, I wouldn't let anybody else get away with it. You know, it's like, but life happens. And we all have regrets. We've hurt people. People have hurt us. Hurting people hurt people. We've had things go wrong. You know, and it's like, there was a time there that I felt like, I'm not going to make the right decision until I've made all the wrong ones. You know? Hello? Anybody out there? Okay.
Yeah, I know everybody's out there polishing their halos, okay? But anyway. But yeah, I've had regrets. I've had that condemnation. But you have to learn how to forgive yourself. Forgiveness is very liberating. You forgive yourself. We're going to make mistakes. Life is going to happen. You know, life is going to throw things at you that you wish you could duck and let it hit somebody else. But, and I've learned that a lot of these things that life has thrown at me that have hit me, I had something to do with it. You know, I had a role with it. You know, I'm going to go back to 2018. You know, it's not going to be a good day when the doctor walks into your room with a tear in her eye and goes, "I'm sorry, Mr. Wyatt, but it's cancer." You know that's not going to be a good day. But I'm still here. And not through anything that I did, but by the grace of God, it was like I had this peace because I had church, family, friends praying for me. And I had a peace. It's like I was walking through it, but it was happening to somebody else. Now, see, and that's what in Romans 8, what we're talking about. When you come to Christ, when you leave the physical behind and you walk in the Spirit, those are the benefits. That's what happens to you. You've got that protection. God is going to protect you. He's going to walk with you. Yeah, sure, things are going to happen. It's an imperfect world. Things are going to go wrong. But you've got that divine, supernatural protection. And that's the beauty of Romans chapter 8. So, also, where's verse 38 and 39? "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Moral of the story. When you surrender, when you give in, when you quit condemning yourself, because there is no condemnation, there's conviction, but the conviction is helping you stay on the right path. It's going to lead you, direct you, guide you. You know, I can deal with conviction better than I can condemnation. Because there's no use beating yourself up. We're all going to make mistakes, but you move on. And there is forgiveness. And nothing is going to separate you from that love that is in Christ Jesus. That is your eternal reward. Every soul has an eternal destination. You need to figure out what yours is going to be. And you've got the opportunity. As a matter of fact, I think we're going to do an altar call later on today. We're going to open up the altar. If there's a decision that you need to make, if you want to find that eternal peace, then we're going to invite you to come forward. Right? Okay. So, Jay, I think you're up.
Thank you, Larry. Good morning, church. So I'm happy to be with you for a few minutes this morning. I want to thank Pastor Vince and Pastor Ashley for believing in me and inviting me to speak to you. I also want to thank Pastor Vince for that illustrious introduction. So I want to begin with a quick story. About 3 weeks ago, my wife came to me and said, "Babe, I'm going to come to you every day for 30 days, and I'm going to ask you how I can pray for you." Now, we already pray together quite often, but I have to tell you, I was taken aback. Like, can you do that? Is that even legal that you can pray someone, ask someone to pray for them every day? So I know people pray for me, and they have all throughout my life, but no one has ever been this intentional. The intentionality that it took for her to come to me and ask her how she wanted to pray for me and even consider me in that way, it's taken our relationship to new heights. And I want to thank you, babe. So today our topic is love intentionally. And we've been working through Romans 8 for the past few weeks, and I want to stay there for a moment. So let's go to Romans 8:28. "And we know God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose for them, right? So we want to establish that things work together. Things work for our benefit, for our good, because we love God. But guess what? Stuff doesn't work out because you did a good job, right? Things don't work out because you believe you deserved it. Things work out. Everything works together for good to those who love God. Also, for those who are called according to his purpose. Not your purpose, definitely not my purpose. His purpose. So we often question, what is his purpose in our lives? So let's look at the example of the writer himself, Paul. Acts 26, verses 10 and 11 shows that Paul persecuted the church, had believers sent to prison, and even voted for their execution. But when Paul chose to love God and was called according to his purpose, he became the writer of the majority of the New Testament. You may not fully know God's purpose for you, but I would encourage you to do two things and you'll find it. Love him and listen to his call. Listen to that still small voice that's guiding you, and he'll show his purpose for you. So let's briefly go to Romans 8, and in the message, it's 8:31 through 39. And essentially, those verses are saying nothing can separate us from the love of God. But let me bring it to you from the message version. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There's no way, not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. And guess what? That's happening today. That's happening all around us. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. But listen, let me show you how the message paints this picture for you. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love for us because of the way that Jesus, our master, has embraced us. I love how Paul said he was absolutely convinced that nothing could come between us and God's love. And if you know me, you know I use the word absolutely quite often. I think I said absolutely when I was sitting next to y'all a moment ago. Absolutely means without exception, completely, entirely. Paul was convinced, but he needed you to feel him. He was without exception, completely, entirely convinced that nothing can come between us and God's love. You can't love someone absolutely without loving them intentionally. You gotta mean to do it. I know that God wants us to have the same type of intentional love for people that he displays for us. So one of the ways we show how much we love him is by showing that love, showing his love to each other. And it's hard. We don't deserve it. We do each other wrong, y'all. We're talking crazy. We're throwing shade. We're talking behind each other's backs. Let me be clear, not that anyone in here would do this. I'm just speaking in general, right? But how can we overcome our nature and adapt the nature of God and love each other intentionally? So as I close, I would like you to consider how you can love on others intentionally. I want to give you some adverbs. And my request is to pick one, just one, that you can commit to this week. And select someone that you can love on in this manner. These are examples of how you can love on someone in a way that's impactful and it will change lives. Yours as well. Write down one or maybe two that resonate with you. So I want you to select someone to love consistently. Show them that your love doesn't waver. Love deeply. Love unabashedly. No embarrassment, no shame. Love distinctly. love passionately. Now, quick note here. If you're under 21, strike the love passionately off your list. Don't come back to your parents talking about, Jay told me to love passionately. No, he didn't. He didn't. Don't do that. Love peacefully. Love fearlessly. Love generously. How can you show someone an abundance of love in the moment that they may need it the most? Love joyfully. My man T.I. would say, love expeditiously. Don't waste any time showing someone how much you love them. You never know if you'll get another chance. Love graciously. Love courageously. Love frequently. Show your love often. Love extravagantly. And most of all, church, love intentionally. Thank you. Be blessed.
Check one, two. Man, they gave me a mic, boy.
Hello?
This is, ooh, boy. They gave me a mic in his own, too. I thought they were going to cut it off. Ooh, Justin going up there.
So, good morning, everyone. My name is Aisha Pennerman.
I'm Justin Pennerman, for those that don't know.
Thank you, Pastors Vinny and Ashley, for the opportunity. We're a very transparent couple. We're very vulnerable. We like to talk about, you know, just the, you know, the things in our lives, especially with the youth. If you have any middle schoolers or high schoolers, they're usually in the back of the fellowship hall with us. But today we're going to talk about how transparent we are,
right.
And some of the things that we've struggled with. And so we're going to dive into the question, why us?
Why us? That's the title of the message.
And I want to see, raise your hand if you've ever experienced something, good or bad, where you've asked yourself or asked God, why me? It could be a role, all these hands. And so it's just, we're not alone, right? We're not alone in this. And that's what we've experienced as of recently, you know, when we were asked to be the youth directors of The Vibe, we were like, you sure?
I don't know about that. Social media, like, you know how I get down. Like, you got the wrong one. You got the wrong one today.
We were like, oh, no, this may be a mistake, y'all. It may be a mistake. But, you know, we questioned it. We questioned why us.
And we can't help but to focus and be fixated on our flaws, yeah, our mistakes, our imperfections. And just the potential to make even more mistakes. I was like, man, what if I, you know, even coming up on this stage or if I'm in front of the youth, say something wrong, say something that's like heresy or something like that. And the one big word that just kept being on our mind was unqualified. Like, we have zero qualifications. I did not go. Did you go to Rhema?
Nope.
Yeah, no, nope. I didn't go to Rhema. I didn't go to seminary school.
No seminary experience.
I barely got through new members classes. I dropped out of that. So, like, so it was like we just lacked all this, what we thought would qualify us. We
right.
didn't think what could qualify us to be on this stage today. But you know what? The biggest responsibility really is just really allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, letting Him work through us in spite of all of our inadequacies.
Right. Yeah. It's like we were fixated on the imperfections, and that's actually a form of pride disguised as like false humility, right? It's like many of us know pride is like an excessive belief in one's ability, but pride could also mean an excessive belief of one's lack of abilities. And so we were focused on what we lacked versus how God could use us. It was like it reminded us of we were putting our weaknesses on a pedestal versus putting our weaknesses in God's hand and letting Him use it.
So, you know, when we discovered, like, true humility is when we surrender ourselves entirely to God's will,
mm-hmm.
allowing His strength to shine through our weaknesses. It's about acknowledging that we've heard the phrase, you know, less of me, more of him. And I used to just think that was a phrase, but I was like, no, that's real talk. Like, mm-hmm. I do want it to be less of me.
Yeah.
And so, looks like we're going to be using it. Everybody's using the same scripture. Jesus, man, that's how you know God is in it. All right. So despite our imperfections, God calls us, everybody in this room, to go beyond your shortcomings, go beyond your imperfections.
Yeah.
Romans 8:28 reminds us of this truth. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them.
Every mistake, every bad experience, every flaw, God uses all those things and weaves them together for our good. And it reminds me of this tapestry that you're getting ready to see. So when you look at a tapestry, it reminds us of, look, this is a mess, right? It's, you got all these strings, colors. It just looks really messy. And even in the second slide, you'll see these knots tied. It still looks a mess. It's still, you really don't know what's going on in this piece, right? But that's sometimes how we view the things in our lives. But we don't understand that God is using those strings of our imperfections. It's using those strings in our flaws and our mistakes and weaving them into the tapestry of our lives, right? And so it's when you shift your mindset. It's when you flip that tapestry over to the front where you see the full picture, right? And so this is God using all the things in our lives and weaving them into the tapestry of our life.
So when you say that, like when you look on the, I'm gonna let them clap for you real quick. That was good. Good. Yeah. When I look at the other side of that tapestry, y'all saw how messy it was, but like when you just had to shift your focus, you know, and let your mess turn into your message. You know, I heard that somewhere. That was dope, isn't it?
Yeah.
What a well fire, girl. All right. You know, let me get back to these notes right here. All right. So when I look at the Bible also, outside of Jesus, God was just using the dirtiest of people. He was just using like unqualified people, flawed people to bring about his perfect will. And so it just shows me how unconventional God is, just how he's been using people. Like, the people that he was using in the Bible would have been canceled in today's culture. But you cannot cancel a calling. I want to keep that, like, for real. You can't cancel a calling. So remember, your flaws do not disqualify you from God's calling. Rather, they serve as a testament to his grace and mercy. All right? Mm-hmm. And so in closing, actually, I got two closings. I wanted to throw something else in there.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to throw.
Talk your stuff.
Wrong one today, bro. All right. So when the question arises, you know, why us? Go ahead and just, because the question will arise. We're human. It's going to arise. You know, why us?
Yep.
Start to, like, pivot that mindset to, like, God, how do you want to use me? All right? How do you want to use me, God? And so, other closing I wanted to do, I want to actually see if this works. See if this works real quick. All right. See if this works. Okay. All right. So this is church, right? This is church. Okay. All right. So God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Oh, that's your work. All right. I appreciate y'all.
Thank y'all.